Yeah! Welcome to the Compass Podcast, featuring Chris Chandro and the Compass team. We hope this message is just for you.
So in a couple weeks is a kind of an exciting day for us here at Compass, because in 2 weeks is our 1 year birthday from when we launched here on Sunday mornings in the theater. Yeah, there you go. No, so September 15th last year was when we launched to Sundays here at the Galaxy Theater. Now, we had been meeting on Saturdays before that, kind of building a launch team in preparation for what we knew we were going to do when we launched to Sundays. But man, this last year has been absolutely amazing. It's been amazing to see what God has done in Compass Church. And you know, we started off in the theater next door, I think Theater 2. And, you know, we outgrew that in four months or so, maybe a little bit less. And we jumped up into this theater. And it's been amazing to see, you know, community groups grow, people getting together in small groups. It's been amazing to see our kids ministry growing. You know, it's been amazing to see. We baptized 15 people just this summer. This year alone, we've baptized 21 people. And we've only had a couple baptism services because we meet in a movie theater. And, you know, God's doing amazing and incredible things here at Compass. And, you know, we're coming up just on the first anniversary of when he kind of started doing what he's doing. And so I'm super excited about that. And I guess as we kind of climb up on that date, you know, we've got an exciting message series starting next week called Love, Sex, and Marriage, which is going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be funny. It's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be weird. It's going to be all those things that make Compass what it is. But coming up on that 1 year anniversary, I've been thinking a lot about who we are and what makes us Compass. What are the things that God has placed in us that make us distinct and unique? And in thinking about how does that kind of tie into the community of believers that we are? How does it tie into the community that God is creating here? And so, you know, when we started Compass, we kind of had this vision to be something maybe a little different than what we had seen in churches that some of us had grown up or been part of in the past. And so our vision at Compass is this, and you may have heard this, you've been around. Our vision is that we want to be a church that unchurched people love to attend. Now, some of you guys are like, unchurched? Well, this is my first time unchurched. Okay, unchurched basically means this. You're not connected in a church. You don't go to church. When we started, I kind of fudged the language a little bit, because when we started, it was Compass, we want to be a church that people who don't like church love to attend. And so if you don't like church, our goal is for Compass to be a place where you could be comfortable, where you could develop relationships, where you could feel loved and you could engage with God and with other people. And so that really is our heart, is that we want to be a church that people who are unchurched, people who don't like church, people who are uncomfortable or unfamiliar with church, that they love to attend. And one of those things that has made that a challenge for us, you know, honestly, you know, and keeping that just to the forefront, is that churches in general kind of have this natural gravity. And in normal church life, the natural gravity is for churches to kind of pull inward and focus on the people who are already there. You know, so you know, take First Church of the, you know, the cool guys, you know, over on Main Street, whatever. That's a made-up church that really doesn't exist. Although maybe we could change our name to that, I don't know. But so take First Church of the cool guys over on Main Street. You know, they've started and they're great and they got great services and great messages and great music. And you know, they hang out a lot together and they have potlucks and they have parties. And then the gravity of church tends to do this. It tends to say, well, wait, you know what? I'm enjoying this. This is good for me. My kids like this. This is really comfortable for me and my family. And so what I need to do is I need to protect that and guard that. And I can't let anything change that. I can't let anything mess that up. And so all of a sudden, church, the gravity tends to be for the people who are insiders in church. It's easy for us to look at church and say, this is for us. We need to defend it. We need to protect it. And people who are outside of our church, who think like we do, and who want what we have are welcome to come in, and you know, as long as they don't mess with what we got, they can come partake. But if people come in and they want to do church differently, I don't know if I'm into that, or you know, maybe they're living lifestyles that are kind of counter to what we're trying to protect here. I don't think I want that in there, and we start to just close in and close ranks, and church can tend to shift in a very inward focus. And you know, really, I mean, it's not a spiritual thing; it's just people. Right? I mean, people are people. And when people don't like something, they complain. And so it can happen that in church life, people can just kind of complain about things they don't like. You know what, Chris? I don't like that song you did. It was kind of loud. The music's getting uncomfortable. You know what, Chris? You told that one joke and it wasn't funny. And I really wish you'd be more serious. And you know what? The hospitality, I mean, it's good, but I feel like in some ways it's not connecting this way. And so people can complain about what they don't like and what they do like. And what happens is this, leadership can respond to that. It's easy to respond to the squeaky wheel, right? You know, if you hear something that people say, we need to fix this, we don't like this, you know, you want to keep people happy, you want to keep people on board. And so what churches tend to do is they respond to the squeaky wheel and they grease it up. You know what I'm saying? And ultimately what happens is this: the people who are complaining are people who are in the church. So you respond to that. People who are outside your church, people who don't go to your church, they're not complaining because they're not there. And so you can't respond to the wants and the needs of the people who are not in your church. So you respond to the wants and the needs of the people who are inside. And so as a result, the gravity of church can pull very much inward. And you know, we kind of tend to look at churches, it's just any organization really, we kind of look at these things as your attendance is your vote. You know, if you attend, then you have a vote. And if you don't attend, you don't have a vote. And as a result, people who are insiders, they get the loudest voice, they get the biggest vote. And so churches, I mean, I think if we were all totally honest and we looked at the cultural church in America, I'm not talking about the church as the body of Christ, I'm just talking about organized church. I think that if we were all going to be honest with each other, we could all see some of the elements of church turning inward and shifting away from connecting to people in our communities, connecting to people in our culture, connecting to the unchurched. And we could see kind of a habit of churches to say, we need to protect our lifestyle, we need to protect our values, we need to protect our morals, and you just put up big fences and big walls. It's just the natural gravity of church. But our vision at Compass is that we always want to connect with the outsider. You know, and here we're a year into it, and that natural gravity is as real for us as it is for any other church, but we want to hold on and firmly connect with that vision of reaching people who are outsiders, people who are, you know, on the fringes of church life, of spiritual life, people who are unchurched. And so that means that we do things a certain way. You know, you may look at how we do services. To be totally honest, we try to think through everything we do right down to the smallest detail. So, you know, we don't have loud music and lights and fog just because, you know, they're cool and we want to be super cool. I mean, we do that because we want people who are unchurched to feel comfortable. And so you think about someone who's never been in a church before. What is their context of live music? What is their context of, you know, an environment where there's people playing music for them? It's a nightclub or it's a concert where the lights are dark and lights are dark out there, and then there's lights up and it's loud enough that you can't hear yourself. And so we decided, you know, we don't want to be a church where people walk in and all the lights are up and the music's quiet because we don't want to offend anybody. And you walk in and you're clapping and you can hear yourself singing louder than the person next to you because yuck, you know, no one will. Or you can hear the person singing next to you because yuck. I mean, let's be honest. So our environment is created with people who don't like church in mind. That's why we do it. And, you know, when culture changes and, you know, our culture is comfortable with, you know, the square dances. You know, when square dancing becomes the norm for live music, you know, Kevin's going to be up here. He's going to be calling square dance moves with banjos and fiddles, and that's just what we're going to do. Because our vision is that we want to be a church that unchurched people love to attend. It's what we're all about. And the thing is, this is our heart as a church because that was Jesus's heart. Jesus's heart, when you look at his life, if you read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, just the Gospels, which in the New Testament, which are basically just four, you know, kind of stories of Jesus' life. They're the novelization of Jesus's life. If you look at the Gospels, you're going to see that Jesus was someone who was desperate to reach people who were outsiders. Jesus wanted to reach people who were unchurched. Jesus, he interacted with religious people, but he was mostly interacting with religious people because they were complaining about how he was doing what he was doing. And so he had to put them off because his goal was to reach people who are outside. And what's crazy about that too is that Jesus was irresistible to unchurched people. Jesus was irresistible to people who were not religious, who were outside of the religious community. In fact, people who were nothing like Jesus liked Jesus. And Jesus liked people who were nothing like him. I mean, that was his MO. That's how he functioned. That's how he worked. And so as a church, we want to be a place where people who are nothing like Jesus like to come in and be part of Compass. And that we at Compass, we can like people who are nothing like us because we know that Jesus wants to intersect people's lives and change them. And we believe this, that life following Jesus is the best life that you could possibly live. And so to wrap up our community series, I guess what I wanted to do is just kind of talk a little bit about kind of the fundamental vision of Compass and who we are as a broader church community. We've been talking kind of small picture about what does community look like in your family? What does community look like in your circle of friends within the church community? But let's get big picture a little bit. Let's talk about us as a church community here in a bigger community of Bloomington Normal, and how does Jesus want us as a church community to intersect with the community of unchurched, the community of people who don't like church, the community of spiritual outsiders beyond the four walls of the movie theater that we meet in. So I want to talk to you about a story out of the life of Jesus that is pretty remarkable. And this is one of, I really like this story that Jesus is going to tell, and I hope this connects with your heart. So let's take a look at where Jesus is at. Jesus is sitting at a party at the home of a bunch of religious leaders. Now, when you're talking religious leaders, you're talking about the Jewish religious leaders, the established religious authority. These were the people who not only had religious stature, but they had power and they had money. These guys really were the insiders of the insiders. Now, again, when Jesus first came on the scene with his ministry, his teaching was just amazing, people. And what he was doing was outrageous. He knew the scriptures. He knew how to talk about God in ways that were unique and special. People were getting healed. And so the religious leaders were trying to make sense of this guy who didn't want to be an insider, who was trying to reach the outsiders, and who was teaching all this crazy stuff. And people were getting healed. And yet he didn't seem to want anything to do with them. So a religious leader says, you know what? This Pharisee, he says, I'm going to invite Jesus into my home, and we're just going to have a big Pharisee religious leader party with Jesus at the center, and we're just going to get to the bottom of this guy and see what he's all about. So this Pharisee invites Jesus. He invites all his spiritual religious insider friends, and they're sitting around a banquet table, and they're just talking, and you know, the story starts out, I didn't include this, but the story starts out where, you know, a bunch of the religious leaders are actually trying to get to the prime spot at the table. There's a spot at the head of the table where if you're the most honored guest, the most special person there, that you can sit. And so all these kind of religious leaders are jockeying to get to that spot, and Jesus is like, guys, what are you doing? Seriously, that's not cool. Why are you trying to be the head of the table? You should be at the bottom. You need to humble yourselves. And so right out of the gate, Jesus is calling these guys out at their own party. Which leads to this kind of context where Jesus begins a dialogue with the host and these people who are sitting at the party about humility and about being insiders. And so that's where we're going to find Jesus. He's in this insider party in Luke 14, 12 through 14. We start off with Jesus. It says, he turned to the host and he said, when you put on a luncheon or a banquet, don't invite your friends, brothers, relatives, and rich neighbors, because they're going to invite you back and that will be your only reward. Instead, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Then, at the resurrection of the righteous, God will reward you for inviting those who could not repay you. So, let me kind of give you a background on this. Let me tell you a story about my life. I was actually at a Christmas party a couple years ago. I got invited to a Christmas party for this really sharp, super cool, you know, young couple in their early 20s. Now, looking at me, you may think, oh, Chris, that's exactly like you, a sharp young guy in his early 20s. I'm not. And so, you know, I've got kids and, you know, I'm an old guy with kids and all the things that go with that. But I was invited to this Christmas party. Terry couldn't make it. One of our kids was sick. And so Terry stayed home with the kids. But I thought, you know what, I should go. I'm going to go to this party. So I get into the Christmas party and I have like cookies or something and whatever. And I go in and just jeans and a hoodie because it's kind of my uniform. And I get into the house and they invite me in. And immediately upon opening the door, I feel completely out of place because they are just decked out. You know, she's got this beautiful, like super, you know, hip, cool, like, you know, dress on. And he looks like he stepped out of like a, you know, I was going to say J. Crew. I don't think J. Crew is the right thing. Let's say American Eagle. How's that? He stepped out of like some like magazine ad with his perfectly slicked hair and his just clothes were, he's just like, ugh. I'm like, he was beautiful. It was ridiculous. And so I walk into their house and I feel like a slob in my, you know, my dirty Converse All-Stars. And I go in and I put the cookies down and I'm talking to him a little bit, but there's other guests here. And I go and sit on the couch and I'm just observing this party. And literally, no joke, every single person who walks through the door looked like a model. No joke. Everyone, and it's like these young couples and they're in their early 20s and they're talking and they're laughing and I'm sitting and I'm feeling stupid and uncomfortable and weird because, you know, I start talking to this one couple and we're talking about our lives and I start talking about my kids and like, I'm like, you guys have kids? Oh, no. Dog? You have a dog? No, no. Okay. Well, you guys are very beautiful. Thanks. I think, we'll talk to you later. Okay, see ya. So I lived the whole night, I just sat on that couch just feeling so uncomfortable and so stupid because they thought I was an insider, and I clearly was not an insider. I didn't speak the language. I did not share their station in life. I was nothing like these people, and I felt so awkward. In fact, I felt so awkward that I texted my wife, and I was like, hey, how are the kids doing? And she said, oh, everyone's fine. And I was like, why don't you tell me that everything's really awful right now and you need me? She's like, why? Just do it. Hey, guys, I'm so sorry. Terry's home alone with the kids. I really need to go, but thank you so much for your hospitality. But here's the thing. I was at this party, and they weren't bad people. They were nice people. They were awesome. I liked them, but I was at a party for insiders, and I was completely an outsider. They thought I was an insider. They thought, you know, he's going to be great here, but I wasn't. It was completely uncomfortable because I didn't fit. It wasn't for me. And that's the party Jesus is sitting at right now, and he's kind of addressing because you've got all these Jewish religious insiders. And then you have Jesus sitting there. And Jesus, recognizing that these guys have a very insider mentality and that it's a party for insiders, he says, you know what? I want to talk to you guys about this. And he kind of sets the stage and he says, listen, when you throw a party, don't just invite your friends and other insiders. Don't just invite those people because, listen, then they're going to invite you back and that's your reward. Then it's just a circuit of, you know, going to this party. It's the same people everywhere. But here's what you need to do. You need to go out and invite people who are poor, who are needy, people who are outsiders. You need to bring those people in because then you're not just going to get rewarded by being invited to another party. Your reward is in heaven because you are opening the doors to people who are outside of your circle. You're inviting them in to be part of something. You're inviting them in to be part of community. And then here's what I love. So Jesus says this, right? And that's the environment that Jesus is in. And he makes this statement where he speaks to the importance of not being an insider, but focusing on outsiders and bringing people in. He kind of sets the stage by saying, listen, this is what we need to be about. As religious leaders, we need to be about this, not just serving ourselves, but serving other people. And he goes on to tell this story that goes even deeper to illustrate where his heart is and where God's heart is in all this. And so the story begins that Jesus tells the people at this party in Luke 14, verse 16. So Jesus replied with this story. A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. So Jesus paints this picture. A guy throws this massive party. And when I'm talking party, I'm talking food, I'm talking music, DJ, you know, it is a party. It is a huge bash. And this guy, he sends out tons of invitations because this is going to be the party of the year. Jesus continues, when the banquet was ready, he sent his servant to tell the guests, come, the banquet is ready. But they all began making excuses. One said, I've just bought a field and I must inspect it, so please excuse me. Another said, I've just bought 5 pairs of oxen and I want to try them out, so please, you know, I can't make it. Another said, I now have a wife, so I can't come to your party because you know what newlyweds do. So this party is set up. It's a party of the year, and the man sends out the invites, and he sends them out to the insiders. I mean, he sends them out to his friends, sends them out to his family. He sends them out to the people who always come to his parties. And the response he gets is not what he's hoping for or he expects, because the response he gets is like, you know what? I can't make it that weekend. I'm so sorry. You know what? I got a new car. We're going to take it on a road trip. I can't make it on that. I'm married now. You know what that means? So I can't make your party. I'm so sorry. And, you know, it reminds me, next week we have a new people party that we're having here at Compass. And just side note, it was scheduled for this week. We didn't realize it was Labor Day weekend, and so we bumped it to next week. So hopefully more of you can come. So that's next week. But we had a new people party several months ago where, you know, I was just really excited to have people who are new to Compass come in and just talk to you guys about, you know, where we're going as a church, how you can get better connected here. And just I love those parties, get to know you parties. And so it was Terry and I at our house and a bunch of our ministry leaders who were there just to meet new people and talk to them. And it was right after church, and everybody just rushed out of Compass to get there. You know, everything gets packed away and set up or put away where it's supposed to go, and everybody's rushing to the house, and there's food, you know, just a spread. And we kind of get there, and we're just chilling, right? We're ready. And it's like 20 minutes until people are supposed to come because we set a time on it, and we're just kind of waiting and excited. You know, 20 minutes comes and goes, it's now like 11:30, party's supposed to begin. And there's nobody there but us. So we're like, you know, guys, let's just wait another 5-10 minutes. Sometimes it can take people some time to get here. Wait 5 minutes. 10 minutes, nobody comes. So I'm like, you know what, guys? I know that there are people who wanted to make it because, I mean, we're drowning the new people because we're Compass, right? I mean, that's just who we are. So let's just wait. This is going to be a great party. Let's just hold tight. We wait another 5-10 minutes. Okay, no joke. We had a new people party and no new people came to our party. And so it was us, Compass leaders, just hanging out, eating food and just having a good old time. So, you know, two things on that. One is that if you are planning to come to our new people party, please just come. Please don't do that to us again. We want you there. But I know how it feels to throw a party and not have anybody come. You know, it's a horrible feeling. And that's where this guy is at. He's got this big bash. He's got everything planned. He's got everything ready. And all of his guests, these insiders, these people who he knows, these people who he's close to, the people who are like him, they blow the party off. Like, nah, sorry, can't make it, buddy. You know, we've got other stuff going on. So this is what he does in Luke 14, 22 through 23. In Luke 14, 21. So the servant returned and he tells his master what these guys had all said. Can't make it. Sorry. And the master is furious. He's ticked. He's like, I bought all this food, yo. And so he says, go quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Just go out. Just, you know what? My friends, family, these insiders, they're not going to make it. Well, just go find someone. Because look, I got all this food. I got all this stuff. I cleaned my house. And right, when you clean your house, yeah. I cleaned my house. I got all this stuff. Listen, go find someone who can just come in and enjoy this. Because I got the house. I got the party. I've got this food. Go find someone who needs it. You know what I mean? We got a square meal right here. Go find someone who needs a square meal and just bring them in. Go find anybody. Go find some outsiders. Bring them into this party and let's just feed them and let's just party with whoever we can find. So the servant does this. And after the servant had done this in Luke 14, 22, after he'd done this, he comes back and he reports, there's still room for more. So the master said, well, go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come so that the house will be full. So the servant's like, okay, well, so I went out, you know, I went out into like Uptown Normal and I invited a bunch of people. And then we just kind of walked around and, you know, around town and we went hit downtown Bloomington and we were just inviting people left and right. We went to the mall and invited people. And he's like, but there's still room. And the master's like, well, dude, go to Leroy, you know, go to Tawanda, you know, go. I want my party full, okay? I want it full of people. Just go out anywhere you can find people. And another translation says this in the NIV. It says, he says, I urge them to come. NIV says, compel them. Just do whatever you have to do to get people to come to my party. Do anything you have to do to compel people to come because I've got all of this stuff and somebody needs to enjoy it. Somebody needs to get the benefit of it. And I want this place full. So just go and do whatever you can, as far as you can, to anyone that you can and fill this place, fill this party up. And this is what I love about this part of the story because Jesus kind of sets the stage. He's already told us, it just in his own language. Listen, don't just invite people you know, inviting people who are like you, invite people who share your value system, invite people who aren't threatening to you. Go out and invite people who are stinking scary, right? Invite poor people and sick people and, you know, people who you're going to hug and are going to give you communicable diseases like Chris will. Go invite anyone you can find. And then he goes a step further in this story and he says this, not only do I want you to have a focus on inviting people who are outside, but listen, this is urgent. There's an urgency to this. I don't want you to just be outwardly focused in bringing people into my party and bringing people into my community. I want you to be urgently focused on bringing people who are outside into my community. I want this to be something that like you get the weight of this, that you go out and you urge people, that you beg people, you compel people, you do anything you can to get people into this community, into this party, because I want people here. That's what Jesus is saying. And check this out. Just in Luke 14, 24, he kind of tops off this whole story by turning and pivoting and talking back to the people who are insiders and talking back to the religious leaders. And he says this. He says, for none of those that I first invited will get even the smallest taste of my banquet. So all those people who I invited first and said they weren't going to make it and said they couldn't come, They're not going to get even the smallest little sampling, taste. They're not going to get any of this. And so thinking about that, you know, that seems like a really heavy consequence, especially when you apply it to kind of the metaphor of us and community as a church and having an outward focus and looking to people who are outside of us. And it's like, wow, Jesus, I mean, are you saying that like our punishment for not being outward focused is that like we don't go to heaven? I mean, is that our punishment? That's our consequence? That's not really what Jesus is saying. Let me kind of illustrate this for you. When you look at the people who were first invited to the party, when you look at the insiders, when you look at, for our purposes, the religious insiders, the church insiders, there's something that happens when you're an insider, and it can kind of end in the natural consequence of what Jesus is talking about. And what it is this: there's kind of this sense when you get acclimated to something or when you get really used to something, that it can begin to diminish the value of that thing. You know what I'm talking about? Like the more accustomed you become to something, it doesn't matter how special it is, then the more used to it you become, the less value that thing can seem to have in your life. And you know, that old saying that you don't know what you got till it's gone. I mean, that's a true statement. I mean, that's so this week, it's been a crummy week. I'm sick and you know, just some other stuff. But our dog got hit by a car and died on Monday morning, and it was awful. And okay, If you know me, I've even said this from the platform here on Sundays. Like, I've complained about that dog. I was like, oh, man, my dog. You know, I wish my dog would just die. Oh, I hate that dog. Oh, you guys have heard me. And some of you guys were like, my wife was like, Chris, you cannot say that stuff. People think you're serious. I'm like, babe, I'm not serious. Maybe I'm a little serious. You know, and so that was just me and my relationship with my annoying dog. I'm like, oh, dog, leave me alone. And then Monday, my dog got hit by a car. And this week has just been like, oh, my gosh, if I could do anything to get that dog back. Because, you guys can moan and be sad for me. That's okay. But you don't know. You don't appreciate what you have until it's in the context of either it's gone because you get used to something so much that it loses its value. It's just reality. One of those things is, you know, As a church staff, I've had some friends, and we've always just kind of ended up eating at Brazilian steakhouses. Has anybody ever been to a Brazilian steakhouse? Yeah, dude, it's awesome. It's one of those, like, dude, if you like meat, prepare to go into a meat coma. It is one of those amazing restaurants. These guys, basically, you go in, and these guys have swords, and on their sword is just skewered meat. And so one guy's walking around with, like, roast chicken. Another guy's walking around with, like, steak and filet and, you know, sausages and like lamb chops. And basically what you do is you just have this little card. It's green on one side, red on the other. And if your card says green, they just keep coming to your table and say, would you like a filet? And I say, sure, give me a filet. Would you like a bacon wrapped chicken? Yes, please. I don't know why, like, somehow Brazilian guys are talking like, I don't know. Would you like? I don't know. So for some reason, this is just, I don't know why, but we ended up just eating at these Brazilian steakhouses all the time. And I remember the first time I went, I was like, I'm pretty sure this is what heaven is going to be like. Just men with meat, putting it on your plate, and you just eat all you want. Of course, in heaven, like, my stomach will never, like, fill. It'll just be constant, just, ah. And so it was just amazing. The first time, I was like, oh. Then the second time, it's great. It's just as awesome. The third time, it's like, oh, this is really cool. I'm glad we're doing this. Fourth and fifth time, it's like, eh, you know what? This isn't as good as the first time I went, but you know what? It's all right. And maybe someone else is going to get the bill this time, hopefully. But like this Brazilian steakhouse, which is so amazing, the more I went, the more I kind of lost its, I don't know, its wow factor. It was still good. But, you know, if someone was like, hey, you want to try maybe like, you know, going to Red Robin or something, I might take Red Robin over the Brazilian steakhouse because I'd been there a lot. I got accustomed to it, and it kind of diminished the value of that restaurant in my life. Now, I visited, you know, Lewis and Stacy were part of Compass Now. They used to live in Kansas City. So I visited Lewis and Stacy in Kansas City, and they had never been to a Brazilian steakhouse before. And so I said, well, you know what? We should go. So we drove into downtown Kansas City, and we went to this restaurant called Fogo de Chao, which, please write that down, just Fogo de Chao. I don't know how to spell it, but it's great if you find the time to go there. And so I was like, let's do this. And so I take them there, right? I've eaten at this restaurant probably a dozen times. You know, I've had all the meats. I've sampled everything. I know the system. I know what I'm going to have. But as I was in there with Lewis and Stacy, and I was watching their eyes go all big, and they're looking at the pictures, and they're seeing these dudes walking around with me, all of a sudden I'm like, okay, you got to try the lamb chop. You got to eat that. Don't forget your mint jelly. Okay, you don't fill up on bread. Definitely do not go to the salad bar. That's for noobs. Don't do that. You're going to fill up. You know, just, you know, sausage. You may want to avoid that so you can get the meat. And I'm just like, I'm excited for them. I'm watching them enjoy this for the first time. And I'm just like, yeah, Brazilian steakhouse. And all of a sudden, my passion for meat on a sword is just, it's reignited. And it's reignited because I'd stopped being a guest at this restaurant, right? I was always a guest. Every time I walked through the doors and I ate there, I was a guest. You know, dozens of times I ate there, I was a guest. And after the first several times, it lost its excitement and sheen. But when Lewis and Stacy were there, all of a sudden, I wasn't a guest anymore that I was just expecting to be wowed and expecting to be impressed. Now I was kind of a host. I mean, I didn't work there. I wasn't collecting tips or anything, although maybe subconsciously I left a little bit less on the tip because I felt like I was doing some of the work. But, you know, I realized I'm invested in them enjoying this. I want them to enjoy this. And so I was hosting them. I was walking them through what to grab, what to eat, what to enjoy. And all of a sudden there was this shift from guest to host, no longer a guest, but I was a host. And what Jesus wants to communicate to us, the thing that he wants us to know, and this is heartbeat of Compass, and this is where we're going to be now, this is where we're going to be 5 years from now, this is where we're going to be 10 years from now. The heartbeat of Compass is this: there's a point at which you are involved in the party that Jesus is throwing for us, where you will transition from being a guest into being a host. There's a point at which you continue following Jesus and you are invited to this party that he's at, and you keep hearing, oh, come in, be our guest. Come in, be our guest. And you just hear that over and over again, be our guest, be our guest. And there's going to be a shift where you start hearing, you know what? Be a host, be a host. At Compass, listen, when you come to our new people party, I'm super excited about that. You are our guest. You're going to be your guest at Compass. We've sent you free movie passes. Hopefully, if you haven't filled out a connection card, do that. We want you to be our guest. You're going to come be a guest in our house for the new people party. Here's what I want to promise you. This is my guarantee and promise to you, is that if you stay at Compass, our natural gravity will be one that says, be our guest, be our guest, be our guest, be a host, be a host. Because we're going to start to shift and turn. Our focus is not going to be internal. Our focus is not going to be what can I get, what can I get, what can I get. But our focus is going to start to turn and say, listen, as you're part of Compass, you're going to be in looking out to people who don't have a square meal and our plate is full. You're going to start coming into Compass and you're going to say, boy, I'm getting so much. And rather than looking at how you can gorge yourself on everything that God is pouring into your life here at Compass, you're going to start saying, I've got to get some friends in here because they need to know how good it is to eat meat on a sword. I got to start looking outward and bringing people in, because that's what we want to be about. Man, listen, we want the hospitality at Compass to be top notch. We want everyone who walks through the doors to feel like just a treasured and important and special guest, because you are. But there's a shift that needs to happen in our lives where we stop being guests and start being hosts, and we start saying, come in, there's something for you. Let me help you. Let me host you. Let me feed you. Let me bring you into this incredible party that someone invited me to be a part of before, and I'm loving it and enjoying it. Because the last thing I want for us as a church is for us to be so inured and so used to what God is doing in Compass that we just go, eh, you know what? I just bought some new oxen and they need to try them out. You know, I just got married, and so we're going to take, you know, maybe 2-3 months off from church and just kind of sleep in and just relax and do, you know, new married things. You know, I'm a little busy. I got some stuff going on. And all of a sudden, you know, I don't want our Compass people, I don't want what happens in your life, what God's doing in your life, to be so commonplace, to become so normal and so routine that you forget and you lose how special it is. Because the worst thing that could happen is that something that was so special when it started, that you don't realize what you had until it's gone. That you take for granted what Jesus has done in your life and what he wants to do through your life. And by accepting the natural gravity that happens in churches. You say, you know what, this is for me, this is about me, this is about me and my family, and you just begin to close in, and you lose the preciousness. You lose the heart of Jesus that always wants to reach the spiritual outsider, that wants to connect the unchurched, that wants to reach and connect the people who are far from in anymore. If you stay a guest forever, you become an insider. If you stay with the guest mentality forever, you will become an insider. It's just a fact of life. And we don't ever want to become insiders, because insiders don't get the smallest taste of the banquet because they're not interested anymore. They're not interested anymore because they're insiders. They're internally focused. Jesus wants you to be a host. Listen, here's the takeaway. Write this down, take a picture, you know, memorize it, say it 10 times. In Jesus-centered community, outsiders become guests who become hosts. That's the flow of Jesus-centered community in the big picture. Jesus-centered community, outsiders will become guests. People who are outside, there's always an open door for them. In fact, there should be a pull. There should be an urgency that says, listen, outsiders, please come in. We're begging you to. It's why we did the Blues Fest last week. It's why we set up a big stage and a big booth. And it's why we spent over $1,000 on just trying to engage in our community, because we are desperate. We are urgently trying to reach people who are spiritual outsiders, so they can come in and be part of this party that Jesus planned and put together for them. And because when they do that, when outsiders become guests, they're going to become hosts. And they're going to begin doing the same thing. They're going to be reaching out to their friends and family. They're going to be drawing people in. That's Jesus' plan for this church. It's Jesus' plan for your life. It's Jesus' plan for you. And man, when you follow Jesus with all you are, it's the best life you could ever live. And this is what God has for us. And hosts invite. Hosts invite. They invite people in. They invite with an urgency. Here, look, this theater isn't full yet. Over the last several weeks, it's been pretty close. You know, this is Labor Day, so maybe it's not as full as it was the last 2 weeks. I promise you this, next week when you come in, this theater is going to feel very full. But it's not totally full yet. But you know when it is? We'll go to the mega screen theater next door. And we'll take those 300 or 400 seats, and you know what we're going to do? We're going to fill them up. We're going to invite people, and we're going to bring them in. We're going to say, fill this place up. And when the mega screen is full, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go find a building. We're going to go find a warehouse. We're going to go find someone with a great big house. I don't even know what we're going to do, but whatever we're going to do it with an urgency, because God's plan for us, God's heart for us, is to urgently reach out to people who are on the outside, to make the outsiders guests, and to see the guests on the inside become hosts. Jesus-centered community, outsiders become guests, and guests always become hosts. So I'm going to close with this thought. Just three quick things that you can do to make this thing happen, okay? I don't want to just drop this on you and say, hey, we need to invite with an urgency. I want to equip you to do that. And so the first way that you can do this, the first way to begin inviting, we have these church should be fun invite cards, okay? They're in your welcome packet. We always put one in each welcome packet. But outside in the lobby, we've got a table just stacked with thousands of these things. Here's what I want you to do. Go out to that table and take 10, okay? A minimum of 10. And just hold them in your pocket. And this week, I want you to find ways to give this to someone. You know, one of the best things you can do is just invite it to friends, someone you know, someone you've been talking to, someone you have a relationship. Because when you invite someone you have a relationship with, you know, they're probably more likely to come. And statistics tell us that 80% of people who come to church come because of a personal invite from someone they know. So we want to make this easy for you. So take this thing, drop it on, you know, your friend's desk at work and say, hey, man, I don't know if you're doing anything Sunday, but if you want to come, we'll buy lunch afterwards. Maybe we'll drive to Chicago and we'll go to a Brazilian steakhouse, you know. Maybe we should give gift cards to Brazilian Steakhouse to our first-time guests. I don't know, but grab some invite cards, give those out. The second thing that you can do is you can get on social media and you can begin talking about what God's doing in your life through Compass. And you can invite people through Facebook, through Twitter. You know, join us this week. You know, one of my favorite, Treasure, I don't know if you're in here, but Treasure is just all over social media. She's just constantly inviting people to Compass left and right. Every time I go to her page, I see her saying something about someone coming to Compass. I see her talking about something that her kids did, talking about Jesus and talking about what God's doing. You know, grab an invite card. Give this to somebody. Go on social media. Share some. We'll put stuff on our Facebook page. You can just share it. Share what's on our page. Easy ways to make connections. And then the last thing you can do, the last thing, and probably the most important thing is this. Just pray. Start asking God to give you opportunities to connect with the people that he wants you to connect with. Start asking God to change your heart and shift your focus from that of a guest to a host. Ask God to give you opportunities. Ask God to open up doors. Ask God to, you know, give you a chance to have a conversation with your waitress or your barista at Starbucks, or that person who you see all the time but you've never talked to. Or, you know, the person that you're going to rear end on Veterans Parkway today, and with your insurance card, you give them this one and you say, I'm really sorry. But just pray for opportunities for God to not only shift and change our hearts to be a church of hosts, but to give us opportunity to do that. And here's the thing. Here's what I want you to know, that this is not about numbers of people filling a church because we just want to be a church full of people because, you know, we want to be big. It has nothing to do with that. Here's the thing. I know this. God's not asking you to invite. God's not asking you to be a host. God's not asking you to do it with urgency because he wants something from you. Okay? God could do all this. God could send an angel down from heaven to, come to Compass. And, you know, that could happen. But he's not going to do that because God sent you. And see, he doesn't want something from you in all this. He wants something for you. And when your heart can shift, when your heart can kind of turn from being a guest to a host, from turning outwards to other people and bringing them in and see God do what he's doing in your life and theirs, man, when you do that, you begin walking closer to Jesus. You begin seeing God doing more in your life. All of a sudden, you know, all of a sudden, just church as usual. That sense is gone and there's a passion. You're excited again about meat on a sword. Because God's doing something amazing in other people's lives, and now you're getting to see it. Now you're part of it. Now you're hosting people, and you're walking them through it. That's God's heart for Compass. That's God's heart for you. So this week, next Sunday, let's see every seat in this. Let's make next Sunday the Sunday where we are like, okay, well, duh, we have to go to the mega screen because we can't continue like this. There's not enough room. Let's make next Sunday that day because we're going to go out with an urgency this week. Can we do that? Let's do that. Let me pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for these amazing and wonderful people that you've brought together, this community, God, that you've put together. And Lord, I know that if you look at the people who are part of Compass, we're as different from each other as anything that you could find, God, different spiritual backgrounds, different religious backgrounds, different, you know, cities, towns, states, economic backgrounds, racial backgrounds. But Lord, I know this. I love that we're all so different, but I know that you've called us together for a purpose. I know you've called us together in your perfect plan and your perfect will to show us your love, to show us your grace, God, to transform and change our lives. But God, I know you're transforming our lives for a purpose. And that purpose is for our transformed lives to bump into someone else's life so their life can be transformed, so that they can bump into someone else's life whose life can then be transformed. So God, I pray that Compass would always be a church where outsiders are so welcome that they become guests. And those guests stay because of what you're doing, and they become hosts who want to see you repeat what you've done in their lives in someone else. God, challenge us this week. Give us opportunities to invite. And Lord, I pray that next week would be amazing because of what you are doing, because of you anointing and empowering our invitations, giving us an urgency. We love you, Lord. We pray it all in your name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us at Compass. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you have any questions about Compass or this message, contact us at our website, www.compassbn.com.